Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. Jeffrey Scott Mitchell is my name. Yesterday, I was watching an interview with Tucker Carlson and Adam Carolla. It was made about a month ago. I'm not sure when they shot it. But for me, for somebody who's been, as I was thinking about this, I was going to use the word pro-white. But that's probably not the word I probably should use in today's climate, as reactionary as a lot of people are. But I've always had deep, I can't even say simple, well, it's against the backdrop. Against the backdrop that I was living in and at that time, and even on the media and the news, I always had sympathy for white people. Or I'm not sure how to put that, but not racist, but I never had a racial experience that would cause me to have anger or feel threatened by white people, even to this day. So I guess the backdrop growing up, I was more pro-white, you know, for lack of a better word, than a lot of people around me. And growing up still, you know, a lot of my relationships, intimate relationships, girlfriend, boyfriend, were white. So, you know, I feel myself to be open to that. Always have been. But yesterday, watching Adam Carolla and Tucker Carlson's interview, it's a long interview, about an hour, the way they candidly talked about race, the way they candidly talked about race, to hear two white men aggressively and freely talk about race, it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Just a little. Because I know I've been conditioned not to hear that. I've been conditioned to react to that. I know I am. It's like some things we're just not used to experiencing, and regardless of what it may or may not be, because we never experienced it before, our reaction is going to be a little maybe magnified, no matter what it is. And it's not that I haven't heard, you know, white men talk like that before, but there was a deep honesty, and it seemed like they were able to speak freely. And this is something that I have been lobbying or saying we need this, to have this open space, as, you know, some people call it, an open space where both sides can speak freely. I've always said, you know, I want to hear, let the Klan be on TV. Let the KKK, let all of them be. I want to hear what they got to say. Don't censor them. I want to hear what they got to say. I want to hear their side. You know, I don't feel that threatened by them to where I feel that, you know, they need to be completely wiped out just because of their ideology. This is America. If you really stop and think about it, you don't have to be right. You just have to be. You don't have to be nothing, but, you know, you have the right to be. But to hear them two talk plainly and clearly about race did kind of, you know, make the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And I know I was opened up. It opened me up. I was glad to have the experience. I knew it's going to have to come. And to listen to what they said, to really listen to it, and to hear the words, and not react to certain words and want to scream racist, not to allow myself to be triggered and then lean and have emotions and feelings come out against it or repel it or, you know, anti, to stay open to hear what they had to say. You know, I'm pretty good at that. I know I am good. You know, I'm way more open to a lot of things than a lot of people. And I thought that if I had quote unquote trouble, not really trouble, but if I had a thing watching these two talk, I can imagine what other black people and other so-called liberal, I was thinking liberal, doesn't liberal mean open to everything? Liberal don't mean liberal anymore. I think the left, I think liberal should be one thing and the left should be the other. And there should be a far, far left. But I know, or I can't say I know, but I'll bet there's a lot of people out there screaming racism every 3 minutes, screaming racism every time the media tells them to scream it, basically. The media puts it on your plate every morning like red meat to wake you up and get you going. And more than likely, with your faith, with not faith in God, but you're just your faith that you're doing the right thing and being anti-racist at any cost, with zero tolerance, even before any true evidence is laid out, just from a headline that Tucker Carlson, you know, white men don't fight like that. If you really listen to that whole interview, that's not what that was about. To pick that out and to be triggered by it, you missed the whole point. You missed the whole point. And in fact, when he said that, I believe, white men don't fight like that, I think he said that tongue in cheek to poke fun at the Proud Boys, the white supremacist group. He was saying, yeah, you're supposed to be white, you're supposed to be this, you're supposed to be dignified. The way you're fighting is dishonorable. I think he was trying to poke that. And he went on to say that the real point of that whole story he told was that he felt bad because he wanted them to beat the hell out the Antifa guy. And he said he didn't want to be that person. He said he didn't want to be that person. That was the whole point. The little white men don't fight like that. And I understand. I completely understand. The media feeds you that like red meat. You're going to jump all over it. And mainly the reason I cut this on is because I was going to say, I'll bet dollars to donuts or whatever the saying is, that a lot of people who are triggered by this or that don't get the full context. I bet I can guarantee it because getting the full context is work. And a lot of us are busy, family, kids, work. We're just not really caring that much. And I'm sure a lot of people enjoy being anti-racist. Gives them a sense of community, a group. It's us against them. We need this. And it's easy to just demonize it without having to do the research and have something to fight against. Having something to fight against as a group feels good. It's something, not a camaraderie, but the team thing or togetherness or whatever. You know, all of us, we can't stand so-and-so. We hate him. We want him out. You know, look what he's doing now. I mean, like Trump. And I've said this many, many, many times. He is not Satan. That's a man. This man gets way too much attention. And the fact that he tells you that he loves the attention. Before all the way back from Trump Tower, everything they do is all about attention and extravagance and all that. And the left is just feeding it to him. I mean, they talk about him more than Fox News do. And about Tucker Carlson and Adam Carolla. If you listen to the way these two white men talked about race, so frankly and dismissive of claims that I think should be dismissed, and the things they talked about, I don't want to say touchy, but it was hitting at the core of a lot of things I've been saying. And even with that, I was thinking, when I fired this up, it's changing. It's starting to change. I said years ago, eventually, white people are going to have to stand up. I said years ago, white people are going to have to stand up and say enough is enough. You know, I said this way before I even got on this whole, way before Black Lives Matter. Way, way, 10 years, 15, 12, 13 years ago. I was like, white people got to say enough is enough already. Because now they just completely backed into a corner to where they can't even talk. And I was also thinking, in today's media, in the way today's personalities are trained up, and we come up through this, anybody you see on TV who is a racist, well, not anybody, but pretty much, if they are a racist, you wouldn't know it. They're not going to slip. There ain't going to be no slip-ups, okay? These people are trained professionals, most of them. Decades of honing their craft. And you think, oh, you got them. They slipped up. No. That's like, you know, that's like me knowing what to say and what not to say at work. I'm trained. I know, you know, every now and then, you know, something will come out that, you know, even though it doesn't mean I'm a racist or I have that. But it's just I'm trained not to say certain, you know, certain behavior at work. Every now and then it comes out. You might say, yeah, that's what happens to them when we catch them on camera. No. These people are professionals. Their skill is honed. If they was racist, the real racist, I think, you'll never know. The ones who can do damage and the ones that you're really railing against, you'll never know. And they don't hear you. They're not out there listening. Because they don't have to. They're not hearing your message. So basically, you're preaching to the choir. But they brought up some good points about the left, Adam Carolla and Tucker Carlson. I was leery about posting the video because I don't know if I want that smoke, as they say. I don't want that smoke. It's more like I just don't want to be bothered. You know, because I know I'll post it. You know, people made this or that. But, you know, they ain't going to come at me. Not too many people are going to come at me. Because I believe I'm formidable. And they know it. And my message, I've been working on this message for decades. And it's evolved. So it's current. And it's real. And I'm behind it. And it comes natural. I don't have to stop and think. My instinctive reaction, well, my subconscious reactions are true. I don't have to go to a book or philosophy or a doctrine to find out what I think or what I believe. I wish I could think of some of the other points that they brought up, Tucker Carlson and Adam Carolla, but they hit on a lot of points that I've been thinking about for a long time, as far as the way white people go and the way white people are portrayed in the media and what they are quote unquote allowed to do or not allowed to do or how they're presented and the such. It was a good interview. I think I'm gonna post it. Because if you really listen to Tucker Carlson, what Tucker Carlson is guilty of, and both sides agree with this, both sides of the media, I've seen both sides of the media agree with this, he'll say the things that you're not supposed to say, both ways. I mean, he's environmental, he's for a lot of conservative things, you know, like God and family and as such. But he's really kind of down the middle, leaning conservative Republican. He's not, I don't believe he's a racist. I just believe he speaks so frankly that it's easy for somebody to be triggered by him. And to get to where we need to be, I think we need to allow white people to speak that frankly publicly and not shut them down saying they're spreading hate. The left's tactics, I don't think, are beneficial for humanity. Even if, just say for example, that every point the left is trying to push is noble, we need it. You know, it's good ideas, things we need to implement to protect the earth and people, all that. Even if that's so, to do it by censoring and shutting down any opposition, by calling them racist, and keeping them out of the media, news media, news headlines, it's not elderly man shoots stranger through the door. It's white man kills black boy for coming on his porch or something like that. That's how it's presented to us. And you might say, yeah, that's the way it is. Technically it is. It could be put a lot of ways. But it's being put a certain way to trigger you. You won't see a black person. You don't see any black crime on TV anymore. You just don't see it. I don't see it. You don't see any black crime. And I'll bet, as I was watching Chicago PD with my mother, I'll bet you probably don't even see any black criminals in TV police shows anymore. They probably want to get rid of that element too. And I understand their intention. Their intention is noble. I just don't think that's the way you achieve it. And what you're doing is creating a whole generation that's going to feel left behind, a whole generation of white people that's going to feel unheard and left behind. Like, when I went to the Burbank Walmart, you know, I walk into place, and I go out to the Burbank Walmart because it's in a more, it's a super center, and it's in a more, I guess, affluent area, for the lack of a better word, you know, more. And when people, my people who know me say, oh, you go out there with the white people one? Yep, I do. I go to the one with the white people one. Just to get that whatever, that service or that whatever it is. But it's probably more affluent. If there was a black one like that, I'd definitely go to that one. But, you know, I haven't searched that out because I'm not really concerned about it to the point where I feel I need to search out certain things. Because you can say I'm assimilated and I'm cool with whatever. Until I'm not. And then I react and fix it. I don't begrudge it. It doesn't become a demon. You know, I just, you know, I correct it on an individual basis. I don't see it as an institutional or systemic problem. Just individuals who may or may not have the same philosophical ideas on the way things should be and what they are. That's all. But I went up to that Walmart and, you know, I walk in. First of all, it seemed like mostly Hispanics, but still the economic class seems to be higher than the one in Panorama City, the one close to my house. Because I live in Sherman Oaks, so I could really go. I do live in Sherman Oaks. They're actually moving the city line. And it's like right at the edge of where my street is. Because to be in Sherman Oaks is more prestigious than being in Van Nuys, based on property values and, you know, your address. But I can go to Sherman Oaks and get really, you know, ultra Caucasian Western establishments and people. But that's a little too high. See, that's a little too upper for me. I want something more in the middle. And so it was nice to go out to that Super Center, crowded with people, you know. It was at a different level, and not just racially. It was just a different level, the way people carried themselves, the way people acted, you know, how, I don't want to say acted, but the movement, you know, the energy in the place. And one thing I like about that one too, there's like a Walmart employee every 4 feet. And they may or may not know what they're doing, or still learning, you know, how to be a Walmart employee, but they're there. You see those blue jackets everywhere. And you can at least ask somebody, and they're trained to at least grab their phone, you know, and help you out. So I ask two people the same thing. What about no salt bread? And they both grabbed their phones. And I was like, hey, can I do that? I mean, is that the same, you know, as on the website? He said, yeah, you can go to the app. They connect to the same thing. But he has an employee portal. I asked him to look for no salt bread. He couldn't find it. With the two of them, you know, they did the same thing. They went to their phone, they did the same motion almost. Then I did it and I found it. And then I went to another one. And I had to drill down. It was like, you know, four or five. I think they're all Hispanic. Hispanic males. But they were Americanized Spanish males. You could almost say Hispanic origin. Because they were, you could see mostly Caucasian behavior or westernized demeanor or westernized characteristics in speech and, you know, the way they reacted and demeanor and all that. And they both went the same thing. And then eventually I got to like the third or fourth one, because I Googled it and I found the bread and it said it was here. And it said it's supposed to be an A5. And I'm looking, and A5 was the frozen foods. I'm like, what the hell? Then I went to one of them. He was like, oh, you're talking about the bread. He took me right to it. I was excited. No salt bread. A little bit of patience. Working with the kids. I got what I wanted. You know, and I left happy. You know, I was happy. Got my no salt bread. You know, I was happy. But the reason I tell that story is because I went to that Walmart, and when I walked in, you know, I'm on this whole, you know, watching TV, all black people in commercials. Everywhere you look, there's no white people on TV. And if they are, they're white female, and they may or more likely gonna be matched with a person of color, either through friendship or even interracial relationships or even mixed families, blah, blah. And so they had a big mural up there. And you see two black people, the biggest two people on there, the biggest figure on there was two black people. In the upper corner, you see like a Mexican female. And then you see like two little, you know, figures walking out of the store, smaller in the background. And I was like, and I said, if you look real closely, you can see the white people. Come to find out, I go up there again. I looked a little closer, and the people wasn't white. The features were not white. And I meant to take a picture of it on my way out. But it's fun, you know, it's fun. I'm just saying, enough is enough. I said that 15, maybe 20 years ago. So, but, you know, to hear Tucker Carlson and Adam Carolla have that conversation, you know, it was, I'm not going to say tough to listen to, but it took effort. No, it didn't take effort. The reaction to it, I understood. If I had these reactions to hearing white men openly and candidly talk about race, and it seems like what they're really saying, what they believe and what they want, or what they, how they feel, I'm just not used to it. So I had to watch my reactions. Not watching. I would just had to be aware of them. No, not really. Yeah, I don't know how to put it. Because I definitely sympathize with what they're saying. So I didn't feel like they were attacking me or against me. If anything, I was hoping that they're going to prove me right. If anything, that's what I was kind of worried about. I was hoping they're not going to say nothing to make me say, oh my God, these people are actually are racist. If anything, because I want my, you know, I'm human. I want my point of my ideology to be right too. I want to say, ha ha, told you all these years. Ha-ha. I mean, there's a little bit of me, a little bit of that in me, maybe a lot. So I'm watching it and I'm like, and it could have been, I was like, I hope these people don't say nothing racist. I hope these people don't say nothing racist. I hope these people don't say nothing racist to disprove, you know, my my feelings, disprove my, you know, how I feel about the situation, say it's wrong. But then again, being wrong is the best part of doing what I do. Learning something new, finding out that that ain't true, gives me a big thrill. I get a big kick out of it. The things I don't know are the things I love best. So, I just wanted to say that. And it's cold and gray. Not cold. Gray out here today. It's not really cold. Because I'm actually sweating under my stuff that I got on. You know, not a heavy sweat, but something little. In fact, I'm going to get off here. I'm going to post that video. I'm going to get off here. As soon as I get off here, I'm going to find that video and I'm going to post it. Just so people can see it. Or, did you know, put myself out there like that. Because I was saying, I'm like, because people saying Tucker Carlson racist, Tucker Carlson racist. So I stopped and I did research to see, you know, what it was. It was racist. I even Googled, how is Tucker Carlson racist? I Googled everybody, in fact. How is so-and-so racist? How is so-and-so racist? Because I want to see the articles and stuff that comes back from the media, you know. And then when I've done this, what comes back, like George Bush or anybody, Bill O'Reilly, anybody, you know, it comes back, the same thing, the points that come back in, from the internet are the same points I hear a lot on social media from people posting. It's like the same stuff is being regurgitated. And I'm thinking these people aren't really, they're just regurgitating these points or these sensationalized headlines and not really listening to them for themselves. Maybe that's it. Maybe I think they're not really taking it and listening to it for themselves. Because it's like the Democrats and Republicans. How can every Democrat vote the same? How can every Republican vote the same? I mean, we're human beings. Two of us can't be in a room, look at the same thing and come to an agreement on what it is half the time. But you got 270 people who always vote unanimously on something. Not one of them dissents. And I understand they have to do that to get policy through. And it's a negotiation. I say, okay, I'll vote positive on that. But when my thing comes up, you got to vote on mine. And they say, okay, I can do that. And you make, you know, negotiations. Say, well, I can swallow that. I can vote on that if you give me this. Even though I might not agree with it. And that's politics. That's probably literally what politics is about. So, and it's, you can't really say that, like, one person is completely evil or completely bad or another person is, like, completely good. It's just, nope, nothing's pure. So the, you know, have gods and demons, people who can do no wrong, like Obama, and people who can do no right, like Trump, is unrealistic. Anyway, my name is Jeffrey. Swinging on y'all two times. For me, and for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in this, or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be, a totality of it all, a theory of universe, a hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.